build 'em up, build 'em up, build 'em higher. Build 'em up, up, up into the sky. Build 'em up, build 'em up, build 'em higher. Build 'em up, 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 up into the sky.
Advertising is all around you, quite literally. The usual places, billboards, posters, on the side of buses, buildings. I challenge you to try and find somewhere in any town around New South Wales where you cannot see advertising. So how do all of these ads have an impact on the urban environment? And how have we seen them change? Writer and urban designer Jordan Silver is here to chat about this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
Just how common is advertising in our built, our urban environments?
I think it's so common and it's so ubiquitous that you almost don't see it when you're in the middle of dense urban environments. It's almost like it's almost invisible because it's so present.
Yeah. If we look through history, what were these adverts used for in our, like on a main street, say?
I think like the original use of advertising was pretty simple. It was to advertise the location of a particular service or a business. It's like a place marker. You know, there's ancient adverts in ruins in Pompeii where there's wine merchants that have sort of carved signs into the side of stone buildings. And, you know, that's in its original sense, it's to put a place on the map. It's to say, here's where this service is. You know, this is what we offer. And the sign is a kind of point of pride. It's something that expresses a bit of the identity of the business. And it competes for your attention so that you can see it in a busy market or a busy street. And you know where to go and you know where to get what you need.
Yeah, because I'm curious, you know, that crossover, it feels like that's a very fine line between showing me what I need and also advertising. Because, of course, when a cafe has their sign on an awning, they want to try to draw you in. They're saying, hey, look, we're here, we make coffee. But it's also a way for me to know where I'm going.
Yeah. So there's like a wayfinding thing. There's like an actual like useful service that advertising does, which is like let you know where stuff is and help you position yourself. But then there's this other side of it, which is like kind of capturing your attention, which advertising's always done. And if you can imagine, even in like really early forms, like there's several signs on a street, and the sign that you know, if it's your business, you want your sign to stand out enough that people can see it to attract business. But I think the attention-grabbing side of advertising is much more what advertising does these days than the kind of just placemarking side of advertising.
Yeah, because let's look at that nostalgia a little bit, because there's even some ads that have lasted, you know, beautiful bushels sign writing on the side of buildings in the Upper Hunter. Portland as a community is known for its sign writing, you know, at the base of the Blue Mountains. Like some of this lasts, even though we may not even have those products anymore, Jordan.
Totally. There's like a golden era, I think, of advertising, which we all sort of love in a kind of retro throwback sense. And it's when signage was kind of hand painted, or it was a bit more artistic maybe in the way that it was put together. And it just has a bit of a vibe from that era, which we all like to look back on and kind of with a bit of a nostalgic perspective. Where I grew up in Fremantle in Perth, there's this big mill, it's called Dingo Flour Mill, and there's this giant red graphic on the side of it of a dingo, and people have that tattooed on them now. That it's
what?
It's such a part of the identity of the area, but, you know, it's an ad, and it's kind of weird, actually, if you think about it. It's like there's such a fondness for some adverts that it's almost like a bit of a Stockholm Syndrome thing where, like, all of a sudden we worship these ads that are actually, competing for our business and attention and treating our attention as like a little bit of a commodity, which is becoming problematic today, especially in the digital space where we're becoming more and more aware that our attention is really being mined like a resource, and almost never with our kind of permission or any sort of feedback from us on how we want it to be mined, where we want it to be mined, and what sort of things we want to be seeing.
I was going to say, what are those changes that we're seeing, that advertising in a public space? Like, how are we seeing that change? What are some of the conversations we're seeing around this?
Well, I guess the reason that I thought to speak about this topic with you is that it's becoming pretty apparent to me that there is not really much restriction on where adverts can kind of occur in our spaces now. And the reason for that is that I was at the beach a couple of weeks ago, and beautiful day, looking at the sky, and then across the sky comes a helicopter dragging a giant billboard, which was advertising the TAB Everest race, which you know, we can go down that rabbit hole, but that's a whole conversation in itself. But the fact is that I was in a public space. I was on the beach. I wasn't in a commercial area. I wasn't in the city center. But I had to close my eyes to not have my attention mined for a big company, you know, and it sort of got me thinking that it's like, well, if here in this public space, like the sort of quintessential public space of a beach, if even here I'm not safe from the kind of attention mining of advertising, like where am I safe from the attention mining of advertising? And like, do we want places where we are safe from advertising?
But if it's something that's always been there, even if it was a little more artistic or, you know, using what we now see as old skills, like could that sign writing that helicopter that you saw now, could it be our heritage of tomorrow?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I guess, yeah, the question is like, if that sign was more beautiful, would I have less of a problem with it being there?
Or but advertising I think, something that, you know, maybe you
or
like.
Or advertising something that I like.
Correct.
As opposed to, yeah, exactly. But I have to say that I think, preferences and tastes aside, I personally think that there's something gone wrong where there's no spaces in which you are free from advertising. And I don't think that I don't think that's too subjective. I think most people would feel pretty similar.
Yeah.
I think there's certain things that I would be happier to see in my attention mining. Like the way that when I'm walking through a city, that other people might not want to see and vice versa, but there are definitely places where I'd like to not have to see anything. And there are places where I'm happy to see things. Like when you go into a busy city center or a town center, the fact that there's signage everywhere is part of it's part of what makes a city center a city center. You wouldn't want to go into a main street where all the signage has been removed. Mm. Partly you wouldn't know where you're going and what you're doing. But even in certain places in the world, I think in the UK they did an experiment where in a certain area they sort of standardized all the signage in a high street so that there wasn't any variety in the signage. They just made it all kind of in this similar script, which sounded like a good idea in concept, but then it sort of like it totally took the soul and life out of the sort of city center. So there's something that we really love, and there's a kind of buzz that comes from the kind of intensity of the sort of visual pollution of advertising in city centers. But if there's no, if there's no kind of zoning or regulations, I think that's the conversation that we need to have. It's like, where are the appropriate zones for advertising and where are the inappropriate zones? In the same way that we zone commercial types of buildings as opposed to residential types of buildings, like you can't build a business building or a factory building in a residential neighborhood because it's inappropriate, you know. It's not in the spirit of creating a good city for everyone to live in or a good town. Or in the same way, there should, you know, I think there needs to be a bigger conversation about where we can and can't bring commercialism and advertising into people's attention.
Yeah, it's such an interesting conversation because I think it comes down to defining what advertising is, and I don't think it's black or white anymore.
It's not, and I think the line between like where advertising can be kind of artistic and not is quite a blurry as well. But one example that I think is kind of cool is our awnings. So in Sydney and New South Wales and our cities and towns, something that's really common in this part of the world is cantilevered awnings on shop fronts, and we have those everywhere over public footpaths as a shade device. In this climate, you kind of need it. But they're actually not typical in the rest of the world, and that's because when people started driving cars in New South Wales, there were a lot of accidents because those awnings used to have columns that came to the ground. So if you imagine a footpath used to have kind of columns on one side, shop front on the other, and the awning overhead, and that's kind of typical. But then a lot of cars would kind of knock into the columns, and awnings and balconies would collapse. So they sort of made a law in, I think, the early 1900s where these awnings have to be cantilevered. So all of a sudden you have this like very specific kind of public space condition, which is New South Wales specific, which is that you have an awning overhead, you have an open space on your left, and you have the shop front on your right, and that footpath is public space. And there's a lot of efforts to green that public space, to bring benches into that public space. It's like, it's part of the public domain, but the awning is not. The awning is like a private item. It's owned by the developer or the shop owner. So it's this public space where we have like an actual crossover moment between, advertising and business and the public domain. And it's actually a super underutilized device, because the underside of those awnings is almost always completely ignored. It's not ever like treated with the same care as the rest of the sort of that public space that you're within. There's an architect who came and did a residency in Sydney who sort of experimented with that and played with different forms of those awnings to bring light in different ways or to change the nature of that ceiling. And there's an opportunity for a cool crossover where you could increase the sort of, you could really advertise your business by making a memorable kind of public space condition with the awning, and you can also contribute to the public space and public life, and therefore you can have a bit more of a kind of trade, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see where it goes, because I think we are getting a little bit more creative around that use of public space, especially after 2 years at home. Before you go, Jordan, Joe and Joni Warners Bay says, our kids loved the dingo on the silo when we lived in Picton, Fremantle in the 1970s when we went to Port Beach for a lovely swim. So you're bringing up some good memories of the dingo this morning.
I love the dingo too.
Jordan, great to catch up with you. Really interesting topic. Thank you so much.
See you, Kaya.
Jordan Silver there, writer, urban designer, your regular guest here on ABC Newcastle and New South Wales Mornings.